in Randolph County and for miles around, everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio Ram Sparta means W-A-C-O.
For folks on the go, it's 1-2-3-0.
That's W-H-P-O. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know you're welcome on W-H-C-O. Randolph County Radio.
From Rio Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll-free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
And good morning. It is 9:26. I'm Jeff. This is the People Speak. Hope you're having a good morning. On this Friday, we have on the phone with us today, joining us, Congressman Mike Boss. Congressman, how you doing?
Good. Doing well, Jeff. We came home late last night after a pretty big battle in D.C. over immigration. For the last 2.5-3 months, we knew that the situation was getting dire along the border. We were running out of funds. Those funds not only took care of paying our agents there, took care of making sure that they could continue to secure the border, work to do what they have to do. We're also needing more funds to house in this immigration crisis. Now, understand that the argument between the Republicans and Democrats is that the border funding to block the border, but also to make sure our people were paid. Their argument was they're arguing for humanitarian care, and I am too. If we got these people in this situation, we need to do that. So there was a bill that I wish there had been more for the securing the border that came out. That was an agreed bill out of the Senate, and that agreed bill came out on Wednesday. I think it came out Tuesday evening late. And so we started negotiating on the House side. And when I say it was an agreed bill, 81 senators voted for it. Or no, I'm sorry, 84 senators voted for it. You never get 84 senators to vote together on anything. So this was truly a bill that had bipartisan support, didn't have everything that many of the Republicans wanted, but it didn't really break the bank and go down a path that was... that still allowed our president to be our president when it came to this issue. But when it came over to the House, Nancy Pelosi and the majority of her side said they wanted to put some amendments on, and these amendments she was told very clearly that if those amendments go on and then it has to go back to the Senate will not pass it. The Senate would not pass it. We, as we argued to move forward with it, and she tried to put the amendments on, and we debated long and hard yesterday morning. Had they been able to unite, they could have went ahead and just pushed it through, and then it would have went to the Senate. It would have died over there, and then it would have been even further before we actually, we got these people that are trying to secure our borders, keeping us safe from that, and they're not even receiving any pay. So as we put this together, she then decided that two amendments that she wanted to put on, or her people wanted to put on, would basically have tied the hands of the president in his ability to do what the executive branch has to do. And so, as we move forward into the day, we explained that to them, and as we were trying to pass the rule on up into the day, it was around noon, basically there was a group called the Problem Solvers, which I am very much aware of, was actually... thinking about being a member of, but the thing is, there's an obligation that if you're a member, that you have to vote with them. If they get 70% support of it, you have to vote with them. It's automatic, and it's in their bylaws. Well, I said I will work with them, but I'm not going to do that because I don't know when that might hurt the Illinois 12th, and I won't do that. My job is to represent the Illinois 12th. So, at any rate, but the Problem Solvers were able to unite on saying they would not support. Now, remember, Problem Solvers are 50% Democrat, 50% Republican. So what happened is there is 52 of them, 26 Democrat, 26 Republican. So 26 Democrat decided that they could not do what it was that Nancy was trying to push to appease her far left. And they decided, and so because of that, she didn't have the votes. So when their motion for the rules that were going to move forward were actually defeated before it ever got the vote. They actually started to get ready to call the vote, and what ended up happening is as they were getting ready to call the vote, they realized they did not have the vote, and these members came forward and explained that to them, and because of that, they actually pulled the bill from the record. And then we went into recess while some arguments were going in the back room. So what ended up happening was Nancy finally realized that she didn't have the vote. We as Republicans said, we will vote for this, and we'll take the votes that we know want to vote for it as well. And it ended up being a pretty large bipartisan vote. And so we did get funding. Now, this isn't the final answer to all of this, but at least it allows our agents to continue to work. And it was a major issue that we dealt with yesterday, which caused us, we went up into the night last night, or up into the evening last night, and then I ended up traveling home late last night. But at any rate, so it is a opportunity, I think, for what should be a win for the United States, and the fact that we're able to try to start moving in the right direction on making sure we're trying to take care of this humanitarian crisis that's now going on our border. But it still deals with the fact that we still need to make the investment on securing the border, and I know the president's pushing for that as well. But this gets us through a few more months, so at least we were able to get that done.
Right. Right. I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and get our first break out of the way here, and we'll come back, and I know a lot of other stuff that's been going on, and that we'll get into that, but we'll take a break here, and we'll come back. We're talking with Congressman Mike Bost here on The People Speak. We'll be right back. Welcome back, 938. You're listening to The People Speak. I'm Jeff, talking today with Congressman Mike Bost. We've been talking about the immigration debate that's been going on in Washington. Another issue a little closer to home here. Looking at the hydrograph today, it looks like the Mississippi River level down at Chester is at 40.2 feet. So we're still above 40 foot, which is still putting us in the major flood stage category, but just about ready to cross down into the moderate level. But still, I mean, flooding, and it does cause a lot of problems.
Well, it's caused a lot of problems in a lot of ways. One, the rain, not only for how it collected in the Mississippi, but for how long, and every time we turned around, it was a rain on top of another rain, and our farmers were just not able to get out many of the crops that they needed to get out. You know, there was a drop-dead day several weeks ago that if your crops weren't in the field, then you didn't qualify for crop insurance. So the farmers were trying desperately to get those crops out before that on that plant date. So they were working hard to do that. So that was one side. But also, the amount of contributaries that are flooded and landed in this flood this year, and that is the fact that all up and down the contributaries, the Missouri River, the Illinois River, the Kaskaskia River, the Merrimack River, all of these saw record flood levels, record amounts of rain, not counting what you had in the winter that was coming from the Dakotas, that was the snow melt, and then what they got in their heavy rains. They saw flooding like they'd never seen. Now, when talking with the general, you and I talked about this on the break, when talking with the general of the Army Corps of Engineers last Sunday, he explained to me that these water levels, we've not seen rainfall like this since 1854. I think that was the date. It was 1854 or 1852 that he said. So, you know, this is not something that we've seen in our life. Now, everybody goes, well, it didn't get as high as 93. Well, the reason it didn't get as high as 93, we had more rain than what we had in 93, and we had it over a longer period of time. But two, you also had it in a case where we had many of our contributories had agricultural levees blow that allowed pressure release so that you didn't get to those 93 levels. Alton was headed real quick towards the 93 level, and then all of a sudden up on the Illinois River, you had the blowing of several several levees, which relieved and gave pressure relief down at Alton that caused it to drop about 8 inches in one day. So the way everything panned out, we didn't have the 93 levels. But let me tell you this. As this goes down, we must not forget that we've got to fix this stuff. Quite often you worry about, unfortunately, the people worry about flooding when it's here. But we need to start worrying about it before it's here to make sure that our levee systems, all of the systems along are able to work the way they were designed to work with hydraulic levels and hydraulic figures that are not from the 1950s but are from today. Because the water pattern has changed. And it's changed for several reasons. And we know this, but it's like before we started noticing these patterns, well, the communities in the north would take, and they'd build big shopping centers and malls and all of these things, and then they would put so much of what was farm ground, covering it with blacktop or concrete. Well, then that runoff doesn't collect in the ground. It actually has to run somewhere. And so they did not start designing and explaining with these new large construction places like you see now in the Wood River area and stuff like that, where we've got all this under concrete and under roof. They had, if you'll notice, there's those ponds up there. They're actually lakes, but they're catch basins. They allow for the opportunity for the water to not run off as fast. But we need to calculate what are river stages and what things are going to do based on today's numbers, not based on 1950 numbers. So we need to have a new survey done. We need to calculate, and then we need to build accordingly. Now, that once again, that falls into the problem we're facing right now. Where are we going to come up with the money? Well, that should have to be part of our infrastructure bill as we move forward. But then you've got to get parties that be to agree on stuff to actually get the revenues necessary to make that investment. So, you know, these are things that, you know, like I said, whenever we were on break, we've got to think about floods, not when the water's on top of us, but all the time, and during dry times, start doing the labor and the work that needs to be done.
Right. Actually, it's called being proactive.
Exactly.
But I know I heard a few reports this time of some issues. It's kind of a shame. Actually, you mentioned the National Guard and that too, having to patrol the levees. People throwing sandbags out in the water and things like that. I mean, that's, you know, those kind of things, you know, are there to help protect people, and I think people need to understand that more.
Sure, and you do need to know that if you talk to our levee district personnel and people working with the levee district, the Army Corps is doing a great job with us right now. And what they're doing is they're patrolling those levees because the water has been up on them so long that they're looking every morning and every afternoon, all day long, for any place where a sand boil might start. And they know how to properly go in, treat a sand boil, make sure that it is contained and controlled, and they're constantly doing that. And they've been doing that for months now. So we're not, normally you do it for a couple weeks. We're doing it for months. And, you know, it's just amazing how the job that they're doing day in and day out. And we want to send a special thank you out to them because they're working with our locals at a level that is just a yeoman's job.
Right. I had mentioned to you, you know, that recently saw a lot of FEMA trucks out. So, and, you know, FEMA has its people on the ground and monitoring the situation and seeing, you know, exactly what's taking place.
Well, here's the important thing about we need to remember about FEMA. As we're working through this, our local officials working with FEMA and IEMA are making sure they calculate the man hours, the overall investment cost in fuel and equipment, and all of that, because what we're going to have to do is we got to, as a state, have to try to figure out, are we reaching that $19 million level? And if we reach the $19 million, it used to be 24. But Rodney Davis carried a bill because those numbers were not sensible when disasters like tornadoes and flooding happen. You had to go to such a high level to get help from the federal government. So we brought those numbers down to $19 million. We're probably going to reach that. And then each county has to reach a certain level to qualify. I know that the governor has already put in for that, and they're watching that closely. We're going to be working with them and the locals, and that's where FEMA and IEMA are out there. They are actually looking at those numbers now so that as soon as we get that declaration, we can move forward to get some relief to these local governments.
All right, Congressman, I'll tell you what, we've got our second break here. Let's go ahead and take that, and we'll come back. And again, we're talking with Congressman Mike Bost here on The People Speak. We'll be right back. And welcome back. Got a little over 4 minutes left in the program today, talking with Congressman Mike Bost. And the we've been talking about the immigration debate, also the issues created with the flooding this spring and early summer, still carrying over. And different things, other things going on, Congressman?
Yeah, as we continue, we're working here in the district dealing with that, but remember that that doesn't stop the fact that we're still having to deal with things in D.C. Long-term with the flood is what we're looking at is we're still going to try to figure out how to work with the Army Corps when the floods go down to try to repair and bring back into position the Lynn Small levee or something that will replace and control that flow at that far down the river. Twice during this flood, a couple weeks ago, we had two barges got sucked into the breach of the break in the Lynn Small levee. Now, that means that there could have been a navigational problem that could have, as we're starting to move forward and get things back, the current that's moving into that area without us putting a physical structure in place to slow that water down, it creates such a current that it is drawing in there. Now the danger is that will change the course of the river down there if we don't move quickly as this water goes down to deal with that issue. A lot of the people are concerned down there because they've lost everything, and I know they're frustrated because you hear on social media, well, why haven't you fixed the Lynn Small levee? Well, because the existing rules, which we have been changing since that Lynn Small levee broke, every time we turn around, though I work great with the Army Corps on most things, they misinterpret the laws that we pass, and so it's a constant argument with them on how we're going to go in. But I think we're working through that now. I feel sorry for the people that are down there. But when that first blew, that actually wiped out so much farmland and put it all under sand. And it's just created a deep gorge through there. We've got to get that fixed, and this is a major issue. But it's a major issue nationally because if you all of a sudden start that all of a sudden in an area just north of Cairo, because of a change in the flow of the river, you can no longer move barge traffic. Whenever our main goal, our ability for ag and every other industry out there is be able to have those riverways open where we can move bulk commodities to compete in world markets. If something like that would happen, it could knock us out and hurt us terribly. So we're working on we're working on that as well. These are things that are pending out there as far as Army Corps stuff, WERDA stuff, also. Know that we're still working on trying to do, even though we're seeing a breakdown and trying to move forward with the infrastructure bill, that doesn't mean we still won't be working on the WERDA bill, and we will also be working on the surface bills that are required. And WERDA is dealing with the waterways and putting the money in there for locks, operation locks, dams, all of that, and repair of those. And then the surface bill is just that. It's the normal process of roads and bridges and repair. Without the big infrastructure bill, you can't do the expansion and you can't catch up, but you're trying to keep even is what you're doing with when you're dealing with the surface bill. We know that's coming up there. As far as our Veterans Affairs is concerned, we're continuing to implement the program for um, for implementation of when we implement the implementation of the appeals process, and it is actually starting to work faster, but we've got to keep track of it and make sure it continues to happen.
All right, Congressman. Well, it sounds like we're out of time, but you are in district right now, correct?
Well, we are in district this week. Everybody have a joyful and happy 4th of July, and look forward to talking to you next month. How about that?
That sounds great. Thanks, Congressman, for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
And
we'll
talk to you next month. For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.